Great worship today. Man, and that's what following Christ is about. You know, it's next steps. It's a journey that we're on. And even in that last song, you know, we're singing about, you know, the Spirit filling us, using us, speaking through us. It's talking about Jesus is going to return. Our King is going to return. Christ is going to return one day. And as a believer, man, we look forward to that day. I often hear people say, man, you know, I just wish Jesus would hurry up and come on back. We just need to be sharing our faith more, right? We need to be telling others how they can be in a right relationship, because Christ will return whenever all have heard the gospel, the good news. And so that's our responsibility. He could have done it a lot of different ways, but he chose the church to make the manifold wisdom of God made known to the world. And so we have a part in that. But what an awesome opportunity to be able to just sing back to God, you know, and claim his promises every week. That is such a powerful thing. It's something that we shouldn't take for granted. And that's one of the things with our veterans. I am so thankful for our veterans who defend our freedoms and allow us the opportunity to be able to worship like that in truth and in spirit. Is that not awesome? Man, that's good stuff. So thank you. Today we wrap up, and this is a short series, only 3 weeks long, you know. But the thing is, and I kept trying to figure out, you know, what do I call this last part? What do you do when you get to the end? So finishing well is what we're going to look at today. And here's the thing: life is a series of steps that becomes a journey. Life is a series of steps. You know, you think back to our kids, even whenever they took their first steps. You know, we celebrated that, we made that a big deal. And so throughout life, they have these different steps that they take. And, you know, maybe it's graduating from kindergarten. Boy, that's a big deal nowadays. You know, so they graduate from kindergarten. They go into the next grade, or, you know, they finally hit a point where they get the driver's permit, or maybe they get their license. And you just kind of keep going through these progressions, and they leave and they go off to college. And they graduate from college. Maybe they get married. And it's this progression that they're on. But here's the thing, is that is life. It is a series of steps. This past week was a series of steps. And so as we are on this journey, that's when we started Journey Church years ago, 13 years ago, we kept praying about God, you know, what is the name of the church? What do you want it to be? And journey is what he just made it very clear, is we're all on this journey called life. And where we are, we're just at different stages and different phases in life. Some of us are older, some of us are younger. Some of us are going through valleys, and some of us are on mountaintops. And so the thing is that's just life. It's made up of all these different things. And so how do we finish this life or this journey well? How do we finish well? And so today I want us to look at a couple of passages. You know, so it says here, it says, we don't know how many steps the Lord has given us. We don't know how many steps the Lord has given us. I mean, it may be that he has only given us, you know, a few steps. There's some babies who only live a few days, a few weeks, a few months. Some will live to be 100 plus years old. They have quite a few steps. It says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. So what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And so the thing is we're not guaranteed how many days we will have. We're not guaranteed how long we will live. And so the thing is how do we make the most of our time here? And then how do we finish well? How do we finish well? I think about First Southern Baptist Church down in Texas, you know, and all that they experienced last Sunday. People's lives have been changed forever. And so this morning at Pray First, and we had even more people there this morning for prayer. It was awesome. We prayed for that church, and we prayed this morning before our service praying for them. Because I don't know what their service will be like today, but I can promise you this, it'll be different. Don't you agree? There's some people that lost their lives, some families that were wrecked. And so the thing is we need to be praying for them as a church. And we need to be praying for them as they lead today. It's going to be hard to figure out what to do. But the thing is our prayer ought to be that, you know what, the gospel is presented. That there's healing that takes place. That the church responds the way the church should respond. And not just that church, but the churches around it. Our church, other churches praying, interceding for them. And so the thing is we have an opportunity to stand in a gap. See, there's people that got up and went to church last week. They didn't know that would be the last time they would ever go to church. And it changes everything. And so I want us to take a minute and just pray for that church this morning as they're dealing with services and trying to figure out. I can't imagine the leadership there trying to figure out, what do we do? How do we do this? And how do we honor God all at the same time? And here's the other thing, having to navigate probably the circus media. And so let's pray for them, if you don't mind. Father, we do pray for our sister church who there in Texas, was devastated last week. So God, we just pray for your peace and your presence and your power. Father, just as that last song we got through singing, we pray for your spirit to fill that place in such a powerful way that, God, it is a worship service. God, that there's healing that takes place, and God, there's change, life change for the good. God, we pray, Lord Father, that love will prevail there where evil tried to take all that away. So God, we pray that love, we pray that peace, we pray that the power of God would be poured out in such a powerful way that the world would have to take notice. God, thank you for your mercy. God, thank you for your grace, and thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So continue to pray for them as we move through this week. But we're just reminded, you know, that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. There's a passage here out of Psalms. We've claimed this quite a few times. It says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. In other words, to live wise. We're to live wise. Everything that we do, every day, we think about how do we respond to people. We think about wise decisions. You know, and how do we live in such a way that we live as one who is thinking about the greater good, that we're thinking about the greater things, and that's the kingdom of God. And so throughout this series, even last week, you know, we talked about the giving ladder and how Jesus, he challenges, hey, think about the kingdom of God. Invest in something that will last forever. And so we talked about first-time givers. And let me just say this. This is really cool. This was a praise that we celebrated this morning in our prayer time, is we had 9 first-time givers last week. That's a big deal. Why don't you give them a hand? Let's celebrate that. They took a step. They took a step in this progression called life. And so they were first-time givers. So 9 first-time givers, and I don't know how many went from first-time giver to occasional and occasional to intentional. And maybe some went to tithe and some said, you know what, I want to be an extravagant giver. And that's my prayer. I want my wife and I want Laurie and I to be extravagant givers. Because God has given us so much. And so when we take those steps, and here's the thing, we can say, well, maybe one day, if we keep putting it off, we will never get there. And again, we don't know how much time we have, right? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so we can put off till tomorrow. We can be like Scarlett O'Hara. I'll worry about that tomorrow. That'll be for tomorrow. And what we've got to be willing to do is say, hey, God, what can I do today? God, show me what I need to be doing right now. How can I make a difference? How can I make a difference in my family? How can I make a difference in my community? How can I make a difference in my church? How can I make a difference in my nation? God, how can I make a difference in this world for your kingdom? So I want us to look at the parable of the servants. And many of you guys have heard this story. You've read it many times. And so there's a lot of truth in this story. Jesus is speaking, but there's a lot of challenge as well. And so let's look at this as, again. And understand, Jesus had been talking right before this. He's talking about the bridesmaids, who some were wise and some were not. So some had oil for their lamp waiting for the groom. And so some of them didn't take enough. And so he's talking about kind of in the end times. And so this whole chapter here, you know, he's talking about end times. Right after this passage, he talks about the final judgment. He talks about, you know, and some of the, you know, the disciples asked, you know, hey, when did we care for you, Jesus? And he talks about whenever we care for the least of these, we care for him. We minister to him. And so he's talking about final judgment right after this passage. So let's listen to what he's talking about. He's kind of preparing. He's trying to teach these guys, listen, the kingdom of God is at hand. We need to be about the business of the kingdom. So again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then he left on his trip. So the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more bags. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. And the servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Listen to that. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. And the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. And then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid you would lose. I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. And then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And then, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so when we read that passage, this is Jesus teaching. If you've got your Bibles, you see it's in red. It's the red letters of Christ. And so Jesus is talking, like he said, he just got through talking about the bridesmaids who we should be looking. We are the bride of Christ. We should be looking forward to his return. Thinking about, hey, how do we prepare for the return of our Savior? How do we prepare for that? Because Christ has told us he's coming back. And so we need to be prepared for that. And so the thing is we need to be thinking along those lines. And then here he says, hey, listen, be a good steward of what you've been entrusted with. Make sure that whatever you have been given, that you are using it for the kingdom. You're making a difference with it. And so if we look at this, we see where he hands it off. And look at it again. It says, according to their abilities, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. We all want fair. Everybody, we always say, man, let's do what's fair. That's everybody's claim. But God is not a fair God. He is a just God. And I want to be clear on that. God is not a fair God. He is a just God. He is a God of justice. And so the thing is we always want fair. It's like if somebody gets a bigger piece than you do, you go, well, that's not fair. Or somebody gets a day off and you didn't get a day off, you're like, well, that's not fair. And so, because we want everything to be fair, right? But if you look at Scripture, we don't always see fair. We do see justice. We do see blessing. We do see God providing, but it's not always what we would consider fair. So here it says that he gave it according to their abilities. And so God has said, some of you have the ability to do some things. I'm going to give you this gift. I'm going to give you these resources, even this money. And if you were to read this passage in some translations, it calls this money talents. And so oftentimes what teachers will do is they'll say, well, let's talk about talents because we don't want to talk about money because people act funny when you talk about money, right? That's right. People act funny when you talk about money. So what pastors will often do or preachers will say, well, we're going to just say talents. But the talents were money. And so the thing is what we do with what we've been given. How do we handle it? Are we good stewards of it? Are we good managers of it? And it says here, hey, listen, he divided it up in proportion to their ability. So what, those who can really knock it out of the park, he's going to give you this. And if you're faithful with it, and that's what he said. Hey, if you're faithful, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. To the one who was faithful, to the one who did a good job, God says, you know what? I'm going to give you more because you've proven faithful. So God looks to see, hey, how faithful are we with things? And oftentimes if we say, well, you know what, man, I'm not faithful with what God has given me already, so why should he give me any more? You're understanding what's being said here. But if you're faithful with things, God says, hey, you know what, I'll trust you with more. I'll give you more. I'll provide more. And it's not necessarily for you. It's not just so that you can say you have more. It's so that you can make a greater impact, a greater difference. And so let's look over here. It says God has given each person a wide variety of gifts, and he expects us to employ those gifts in his service. So God is expecting us to use what he has given us to make a difference in the lives of others. Throughout the scriptures, we see where Christ teaches about blessing others, about giving to others, serving others. I think about, some of the gifts that we've been given, and those gifts may be mercy, they may be teaching, they may be whatever. We're to use those to help build up the body of Christ. And so maybe there's, God puts it on your heart to bless someone. And maybe it's to buy someone a lunch. My son was telling me this past week they were on a trip, and he said, we bought a dinner for a homeless guy. And so if you go to the next passage or the next section in the same chapter, that's what it's talking about. What you do unto the least of these, you've done unto Jesus. And so maybe there's times, and I know, listen, it's easy to get judgmental. We pass by somebody and we see them on the side of the road and they go, man, they're probably making more money than I do. And we kind of get hard-hearted towards those. But there's times when God says, hey, listen, I want you to bless this person. I want you to do this for them. And so God has given you the ability to do that. Go bless them. Go bless them. And just trust God. Say, God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to trust you. And so that's one of the things we have to ask ourselves. God, do I trust you in the area of finances? Because most of us in this room, Most of us in this room would say that we believe that God can save us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus went to the cross and that He literally went there sinless with no sin whatsoever. He laid down His life. He bled out. He was pierced for our transgressions, for our sin. He didn't do anything wrong. But because of His love for us, because of God the Father's love, He allowed His Son to go to the cross, and Jesus would go and literally, willingly lay down His life for our sins. And we believe that the blood of Christ can wash away our sins. Don't y'all believe that? I do, right? Don't you believe that? That the blood of Christ can wash away our worst sin, because they're all equal in God's eyes. And that God had the authority and the power to literally resurrect Christ. And He defeated the grave, and He defeated death. So death is not something that we should fear as believers. If anything, we pass on to the other side, and we get to go be with Christ in heaven. We get to go be with Jesus in heaven. And so the thing is that is part of our promise that we talk about. And so we believe that. But here's the thing. We don't believe that we can trust God with our finances. We can trust Him with our soul, but we can't trust Him with our money. There's something wrong there. And maybe it's because, like we read last week, we have become enslaved to our money rather than surrendered to Christ. And so the thing is we have to look back at this and go, you know, this guy really didn't do a whole lot. So let's look at a couple things. Like the three servants, we do not have gifts of the same degree. Like the servants, we do not have gifts of the same degree. So God has given some of us the ability to sing. Some of us He did not. Allison and Matt and some of these guys up here on the stage, dude, they can sing. I was just sitting by Daniel, and I'm not going to say any more. But I'm just saying, you know, that some of us did not get that gift of singing. But he is a great leader. I don't have that gift of singing either. But some people have that gift. And that's one of the things that we popped into our mind. But some people have the gift of making money. I mean, it's like, you know, whatever they touch, it seems like it turns to gold type deal. But the thing is they do it for the kingdom. And, you know, and I've known people throughout my Christian life that literally, you know, we talk about a tithe. They give 90% away. Think about that. They give 90% of what they make away. You're going, dude, they make a lot of money. Yeah, you're right. God has blessed them with the ability to make resources, and they don't give a tithe. They don't give 10% to God. They give 90% to God. Think about that. They give 90% of what they make to the Lord and to the kingdom. So God has blessed them with the ability to make great resources for the kingdom of God so that missionaries and hospitals and all these things are built all over the world because someone has a heart that they're a giver. They're an extravagant giver. And so they give 90% of what they make away. Now, a lot of you guys are scratching your head like, how in the world? Because they've been faithful with the little things. And God has blessed them with more and more and more. So the servant who received, look at this, the next thing there, it says, the servant who received one talent was not condemned for failing to reach the five-talent goal. He was condemned because he did nothing with what he was given. Because see, there was a guy that got two bags. And he went out and he made two. So it's not about, hey, we've all got to hit the five-bag mark. It's just you've got to do what the best you can with what you've been given. And so we've got to be willing to say, you know what? God, help me to be the best I can be at what you have given me to be. And so this guy was condemned for doing nothing. Nothing with what he had been given. All right, so let's kind of apply that to a couple of different things. Number one, you know, the money thing isn't obvious there. What are you doing with your money, with your resources for the kingdom of God? And then what are you doing with your witness? Who have you shared your faith with? And I know a lot of times we go, I'm not real good at that. Doesn't matter. We've got to do the best we can with what we've got. Are there some people better at sharing their faith? Yes. There are some people that are called evangelists. They're gifted at sharing the gospel, sharing it. But the thing is we are all called to share our faith, to share our testimony. And so maybe we ask ourselves, you know, hey, you know, God, have I been a good steward, not only of my resources, but of my testimony? And I know you guys will agree with this. How many times, y'all probably can't even count how many times, but there's very often we ask you to fill out a card that says my story. Would y'all agree with that? Yeah, I say it a lot. Our team has said it a lot. Our staff has said it a lot. We have tried to get you to share, you know, just to fill out a card with your testimony on it because we want to hear what your testimony is. Because we feel like that eventually we can help you share that in a way that there will be people that will hear how God is changing your life. And dude, it is like pulling eye teeth to get you guys to write down your story. But here's the thing, we have been entrusted with that. We have been given a testimony. We have a story to tell. It's, y'all are almost like people who see an accident. Man, I'm not getting involved, you know. You know, I didn't see a thing. No, if you have seen God work, if God has changed your life, you need to be telling people about that. You need to be talking to people about that. You need to let people know, man, hey, if there's been a miracle in your life, man, tell that story. If you've seen God do something that is supernatural that you can't explain, tell that story. Don't wait for me to have to sit up here and beg you to fill out a card, but look for opportunities to do that. You know, and say, you know what, man, I want to tell people what I've seen God do in my life. I want to tell people what God has done, you know, in my life, maybe through tithing. The other day we were sitting at lunch and we heard a guy on our staff talk about how God had performed a miracle in him and his wife's marriage when it came to the tithe. They just trusted God and God came through. And we're like, dude, you need to tell that. Does that make sense? I mean, we have been given things that we need to share. We don't hoard them and we don't hide them. We use them for the kingdom. And so look at this next one here. It says we are to invest our lives, not waste them. We're to invest our lives, not waste them. You ever feel like you've wasted a day? That's an irritating feeling. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have one of those days where you feel like you didn't get anything accomplished. You feel like it was just a waste of that day. You know, and you're like, you know, man, I won't ever get those 24 hours back. You ever been to like a concert or been to something and you're like, dude, that's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back. You know, and you're thinking, man, I wish I'd have done something better with that. You know, or you go to a movie and you're like, you walk out and you're like, man, I will never get those hours back. So here's the thing is, we don't want to waste time. We want to be wise about how we use our time. And so the thing is what we ought to be asking is, you know what, you know, God, who can I invest in? You know, if we look at the Great Commission, we have been called to go and make disciples. Isn't that right? Talked about Daniel singing and got up and leaving. No, I'm just kidding, Daniel. But here's the thing is we talk about making disciples. Isn't that right? And so we talk about making disciples. And we are supposed to teach people and equip people and for the works of ministry. So we're to make disciples. So here's the thing. I think back to discipleship. And when people have discipled me. And I've had multiple people disciple me. But I think about Phil Wilson. Whenever I got saved, Phil Wilson came along. He began to invest in me. And he taught me to memorize Scripture. And he taught me to read the Bible. He taught me to share my faith. He would push me. I remember the first time he asked me to speak, he was going to be out of town. And it was two of us. We were going to do 2 15-minute messages. And man, I just really was struggling. I was like, man, I don't feel like I can do it. And so when I got there, I told everybody, man, I'm not speaking. And they were like, man, you just wait till Phil gets back. And I just knew he was going to just kill me when he got back. So the one guy spoke. And he goes, Mike, why didn't you speak? I said, man, I just didn't feel like I was ready. He said, you're making excuses. And he put his arm around and he loved on me. He says, time to step up, dude. And so the next opportunity, I began that. So I'm just telling you, you need someone to invest in. You need someone to hold us accountable. And so let me ask you this. Who are you investing in? If you've been a believer for more than maybe a year or two or something like that, you ought to be at the point where you can at least tell someone who is a little bit behind you how to get to where you are. You should be growing in your faith. You should be maturing in your faith to the point that you can tell someone else how to get to where you are. Now, some of you guys have been Christians for 30, 40 years, and you're like, man, I'm still a baby. Well, then grow up. You know, get somebody to invest in you. Get into the meat of God's Word. Let someone begin to invest in you and challenge you. Here's the thing. Begin to apply what you hear. Begin to apply what you learn. Most of us know enough of the Scriptures to really make a kingdom impact. We just don't want to apply it. We just don't trust God enough. So we've got to be willing to say, God, I want to invest in people. The greatest investment we can make, to be honest with you, it's not in some fund, but it's in the heart of people. Invest God's Word. Take what God has put in you. Share it with someone. Pour it into them. Let them see what God is doing in you. It says, the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Don't you want to hear that said about you? Don't you want to hear God say that to you one day? If God were to say, hey, listen, you know what? Man, you have done a great job. You've been faithful. You've shared your testimony. Man, you've helped people whenever they had need. You gave whenever there was a need, and you couldn't even afford to give, but you trusted me. You know what? I want you to know, I appreciate you being faithful. I want you to know, I appreciate you using your gifts. I appreciate you serving in the church. I appreciate you being a part of what I was doing down there. I want you to know I'm thankful for you and I'm proud of you. Hey, look, come on in. you've done a great job. Don't you want to hear that? I do. Rather than say, hey, listen, man, why did you not do anything with what I was giving you? Why did you not use your gifts? Why did you not use your abilities? Why did you not use the resources I put in your hand? Why did you make it all about you? And I know a lot of people say, man, a loving God wouldn't say that to you. That's what Jesus just said in this passage. That we are to do something with what we have been given. That we don't make excuses and we don't just do nothing. That is unacceptable. We have got to be willing to say, you know what, God, help me to do what makes a difference. So look at this next statement. It says, make the most with what you've been given for God's kingdom. That ought to be our decision today. Make the most with what I've been given for God's kingdom. So maybe just ask yourself, God, how do I make the most with what I have been given? How do I make the most with what I have been given? How do I make the greatest impact? How do I, you know, God, I don't know, you know, what I'm going to do with this, but God, I believe that you'll give me wisdom. And so I want to ask our ushers. Our ushers are going to do something real quick. Ushers, if you will, you can go back to the back. And we want to give you something. And I want to put something in your hand. And this is an opportunity for you to trust God. It's an opportunity for you to trust God. So I want to put something in your hand. And so they're going to pass these out. You guys can go ahead and start on the ends or whatever and start passing them down. But if you're 10 years or older, I want you to take one of these envelopes. And so if you're 10 years or older, I want you to take an envelope. Mom and Dad, you can kind of police that if you need to. But if you're 10 years older. So these guys are going to pass these out. So take one and don't open it up. I just want you to hold it. We're going to all open it up together. We'll just take one and hold it. I want to make sure everybody gets one. Everybody got one? Raise your hand if you didn't get one. Right there. A couple of them. If you got some extras, bring them over this way. Everybody over here got one? Raise your hand. All right, everybody got one. Everybody got an envelope? All right, so hold it up. Just hold it up. Just make sure everybody's got one. Everybody's got an envelope. All right, so here's the thing. All right, so put it down for just a second. I want to talk to you. All right, so it's... For anybody in here 10 years old, you can put them down. Just hold on to them. And so here's the deal. And so we believe in trusting God as a church. And so what I want everybody to do, I want you to open up your envelope real quick. Open it up. Kind of noisy. All right, so here's the thing. It's obvious what's in there, right? What is it? Money. It's God's money. So here's the challenge. Some of you in this room, you got $5. Some of you got 10. Some of you got 15. It's up to God as to what you got. So here's the challenge. What will you do with what God has given you today? What will you do with what God has given you? How will you take that money that is the kingdom's? And how will you bring an increase? How will you make a difference for the kingdom of God with that money? A little girl baked cookies, sold the cookies, and brought the increase. In just a few weeks, we have the big give. You know, and it's an opportunity. So here's the thing. We as a church, our leadership, we trust you guys. We're always teaching you guys and talking to you guys about giving, right? So we're giving you some money. We're putting it in your hand. And we're asking you, what can you do with this money? And how can you work in such a way that it brings a good return? How can you use it for the greatest good for the kingdom? Now, here's the thing. The one thing that I would say, when I look at this passage, the one thing I would not do is I would not do nothing. That make sense? I would not do nothing. I wouldn't sit here and say, well, you know, I'm just going to hold it and I'm going to put it in a hole and I'm going to bring it back. But I would say, you know, God, how can you show me? God, give me some ideas. Give me some creative ways of doing something creative with this so that I can bring it back as a gift to your kingdom. And so whether it makes it back, we're just trusting God. And I don't know if you guys do the math, that's a good bit of money there. And so the thing is we are putting it in your hands and we're giving you an opportunity to say, God, I trust you. God, show me. God, use me for your purposes and for your kingdom. What a great privilege. Because here's the thing. God trusts us enough to be a part of ministry. God trusts us enough to be a part of his church. God trusts us enough to share the message of the gospel, right? And so we have been given another opportunity to God. You have entrusted us with this. God, show me how to use it for your kingdom. There's a couple of next steps down here. So that's yours. You hang on to that. Here's my only thing I would ask you guys not to do. Don't share what we've just done in here with anybody that's coming into the next service. Let them experience it just like you did. And so if there's anybody coming in for the next service, don't tell them. And don't get on the table, hey, man, you need to come to Journey Church. They're giving away money. Let them experience what God is doing in you right now. See, some of you are sitting there probably a little bit taken back. Let God do the same thing in their life. So that's my only request to you, and that you just trust God and you let God use you however God wants to use you. As a part of me, I wanted to give you a bunch of examples, but I was like, you know what? I just want God to speak to you. And so let's look at our next steps today. Next steps today, my next step would be to receive God's greatest gift, Christ Jesus, as Lord and Savior. There may be some of you in this room that you never accepted Christ. And let me tell you, that's the greatest gift you could ever receive. And so if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, let me encourage you to, for the first time, maybe, you know, we talk about a first-time giver giving some money. Maybe today, for the first time, you say, you know what? I want to put my faith in Christ. I want to surrender to him as Lord. I want him to be in control of my life. I give him my life. Be that first-time giver. And let me tell you, there's nothing greater. It's God's favorite thing to receive. And then the next one, maybe our choice today is we say, you know what? I'm giving everything to Christ. I give him everything. Maybe you've already been a believer. Maybe you already made that decision a long time ago. But you know what? You're going, you know what? I want to give him everything. I want him to be in control of my finances, my time, my testimony, my life, you know, my schedule. I want him to be in charge of everything. And then here's the other one. To give for the first time. Maybe financially it's your opportunity. Maybe you hadn't had anything to give. You know, maybe now you do. But whatever, just today, let today be that first time for you. 9 people last week took that step. And begin that progression, begin that step, that journey. And then the last one, to become a committed member of Journey Church. Maybe that's your step. Maybe you like, you know what, man, I've been attending this church for a long time, but I've never committed to really be a part of this body of believers, this fellowship. And you know what, I want to be a part of it. I want to be engaged. I want to be using my gifts to serve. I want to help out however I can to make sure that, you know what, we're making a difference for the kingdom. And so maybe that's a step you need to take. Go ahead and sign up for the next class. We've had people that have attended this church for years. I had one guy, he was attending for 7 years and finally went through the membership class. You know, so maybe that's the step you need to take today. But I just want to encourage you, if you don't hear anything else walking out here today, trust God. Trust God. Be faithful. Do what's right. And I promise you, he will reward you. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes.